Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. righty then. That's Nick, the late Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson. So, so satisfied. And good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Delicious Talk Radio, the segment bringing sexy back. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Here on Delicious Talk Radio, we discuss topics of sexual nature, but not limited to social topics such as relationships, current affairs, and just good old adult conversations. We don't discuss religion or politics. We also have the most fascinating guests of Blog Talk Radio on our show. Of course, this couldn't be done without my great co-host and you, my listening audience. We are here to entertain, and you might even learn a thing or two. We do appreciate how you guys participate by asking your questions and making comments. Please continue to support the number one blog talk radio show, Delicious Talk Radio. Spread the word. Let your friends know we're here every Wednesday at our new time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for your listening pleasure. Our shows are rated M for the mature listening audience, 18+. The topic we will discuss tonight is surviving the loss of a spouse due to death and when to start over again. Our very own guest co-host, Miss J, she is a middle-aged retired correctional officer, native Washingtonian, who now resides in the suburbs of PG County. She is also a survivor after the loss of her husband, trying to find her way back to true love again. So without further ado, we're going to bring on our very special guest this evening. As I mentioned, she's my guest blog talk co-host. So without further ado, we're going to bring in Miss J. Good evening, Miss J. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. How you doing, darling?
I am fantastic. Can you tell the listening audience a little bit more about you? I just gave a little brief bio. You know, you may want to tell them a little more about you before we get into the topic tonight.
Okay, I will do that. I work for Department of Corrections for about 33 years. During that 33 years, 20 years of that 33 years, I met my husband. My husband passed in 2008, which was very devastating to me because it was a sudden death. He had a diabetic heart attack, if anybody has ever heard of that. And he was 50 years old, so
that's very
young.
Right. Would you have any siblings as well, brothers and sisters?
Yes, he did.
No, you.
He had.
You right now.
But you said, well, did he have any?
No, do you?
Yes,
sorry.
Do
you
have
any?
I have five brothers. One of my brothers passed last year, and I have a sister. And I have a lot of girlfriends these days. I mean, a lot. And they try to encourage me to go out. They try to encourage me to date. And I just can't find my way to do that. Even today, and this is going on in August of next year, it'll be 8 years since my husband passed.
Wow. Well, tell us, how did you meet your husband? And how did it come down to?
I met him at a club. I was at a club, and I was sitting at the bar, and he just came in and started talking to me. Well, he gave me his number. We exchanged phone numbers, and I didn't hear from him in about a week or so. And so I this is my thing. I don't call guys. I figure if a guy wants me, he will call me. He will get in touch with me. He will come to me. So I guess it was about 2 weeks later after we met in the bar, we finally, you know, started talking. And he called me at work. And I said, oh, you finally called me, but you're calling me at work? And so he said, well, I want to pick you up after work. And he picked me up after work, and we talked and, you know, spent the evening together. Then I really didn't particularly like him. He wasn't my type at the time. He wasn't. But he just ooed me. He just got me, you know. Before I knew it, 3-4 months later.
Excuse me, you say he wasn't your type. What was your type at that time when you met your husband, that he wasn't your type?
Well, my husband, it looked like a bookworm. He wore real thick glasses. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted the cool, slick type guy, you know, a smart,
oh, okay.
I wanted a smart man. So then when he took me out the second time, he didn't have his glasses on. I mean, the glasses was real thick, like he was a square type person. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was going after the fast, hip, smart guy, you know,
right.
the guy that could dress and dress real nice. Well, mm-hmm. it was a lot of things I had to teach my husband because my husband was like 5 years younger than me.
Oh, okay.
And he just did what a man do to get a woman. I can't really say what it was. And what I like about him was
mm-hmm.
that he gave me the utmost respect, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I knew he wasn't playing. I knew he wasn't playing a game. I knew because back then, you know, guys would, well, you know how it is when we're younger, you know, we
right.
just want what we can get. And so at
right.
the time, I just didn't want anybody. You know, I just was having fun. But he made me settle down. It was him.
Mm-hmm. So how
and
did
so
he
we,
make? How did he make you settle down? And what do you mean settle down?
Well, I used to be a party girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after work, 2 days off, all you want to do is party after all that stress.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially being a correctional officer, you party and you drink a lot. Which I don't do any of those things anymore
mm-hmm.
because my husband helped me along with that. He got me to stop drinking. He got me to stop hanging out. You know, they say behind every good man, there's a good woman. But in
mm-hmm.
my case, it was behind every good man, there's a good woman. And he made me that good woman. He changed my life.
Did you stop drinking before you guys got married, or was this changes took place after you were married?
It was after I was married.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long were you with him before you got married?
How long what?
How long were you together before you got married?
Oh, we were together for about maybe 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Before we got married, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't looked at another man since. I mean, since.
Mm-hmm.
Since his death.
Well, what was it that made you actually marry him, and how did he propose?
He proposed at my house. He got down on his knees, and that was kind of shocking because I have had other guys to ask to marry me, and I was like,
mm-hmm.
no, they full of it. For some reason, I didn't marry them. I knew they were full of it. And then someone
mm-hmm.
was abusive. My husband was never abusive to me. He never disrespected me. He never called me out of my name. I mean, we had our arguments, but you know the best thing about an argument is making up. And when we
right.
made up, we made up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why I wanted to come on your show and talk about this is that it's been very difficult for me to even want to be in a relationship, and I hope that your audience can help me see some light with this.
Mm-hmm.
This has been hard. It's just been hard. I mean, men try to talk to me every day, and I
mm-hmm.
have this thing of running away from them. I either run away from them, I give them the wrong number. It's like I can't imagine myself being intimate with another man, and I know that that is a problem.
Well, let
and
me ask you this. You, it sounds to me, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but
I know
it seems
not.
To me that you're still
mm-hmm.
going through some mourning from your husband's death. I know you never get over the loss of a loved one, be it a husband, brother, sister, aunt, mother, father. You never get over that. But it just seems that you may be still in that mourning phase. Do you think that may be the reason why you can't let yourself become involved with another man, or, you know, wanting to be with another man, or are you still wanting your husband, even though he's dead? You know, it's just something there that's keeping you from, you know, going out, because I'm quite sure your husband would probably want to see you happy, because I'm quite sure you guys had your happy times, your good times, and I'm sure that if he, wherever he is or whatever, he wants you to be happy. So do you think it's a possibility that you're still mourning over his loss and you only want to be with him?
And yeah, and that is a problem. I figure after 8 years, the mourning stage should be over. Now, what I do is that I do talk to guys on the phone, and I may go out on one or two dates, and then before I know it, I don't want to be bothered. You know, I'm not interested in that person. When I want to be interested, I even try to make myself like certain guys that I have went out with and I have talked on the phone. But then for some reason, it's like, no, he's not for me. Because, you know, today's man, to me, I just don't have any trust. You know, they play too many games. They sleep around too much. And that's something that I'm not used to. I don't want to say my husband, but I'm used to just being the only one. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know when a man playing games from the phone calls, or how the phone calls would be serious, and then all of a sudden the phone calls will slow down, or they got some excuse why they can't do this and why they haven't called you. You know they're lying. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So and I'm too old and I don't have time for them games. If I can get in a relationship, go ahead.
No, so you want the qualities in a man that was in your husband. Is that fair to say, or you just want a man who's going to be honest and open and wanting to love you the way that you should be loved?
I just want that. No, I'm not trying to compare the men that I date time. I'm not trying to compare them to my husband, because to me, that's not right and it's not fair. It's not fair for me and it's not fair for the man that I may fall in love with again. You know, I have to give him a chance. So, no, I don't try to compare them with my husband. That's over. That's long gone. I will never, ever see him again. I'm talking about my husband, and that's how I feel about that.
So you've been out on dates with hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, good evening, Jade. Our other co-host is on the line. How you doing, darling?
Hi, how are you? I was just getting ready to comment, but you go right ahead.
No, you can go on. I can probably
yeah,
piggyback off.
Yeah, that's why I'm
you
calling
can.
Because I really need to hear the listening audience. I really do. With my
okay,
issues
go
I
on,
had.
Jade.
Well, it sounds to me. I don't know. Well, let me first say this. Let me first say what I was getting ready to say. What I was getting ready to say is there, a lot of times, there's not a time frame on mourning.
I was about to say, yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah. So, and I only said that because you just said a little bit ago that you should probably be over it by now if I guess as long as it has been, but it's not a, cause sometimes we hold it in. We try to put it behind us somewhere in our feeling bank, in our memory bank. We try to just park it somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Trying to store that feeling somewhere. And then when it surfaces, sometimes it surfaces years and years later.
Right.
So I wanted to share with you that, you know, sister, it sometimes it takes a minute, quite a bit, for that mourning phase to be over, and you're never completely over it, even when you start to learn the process of healing. So I did want to just put that out there. Even if you, when you find and you open your heart to a man, and you decide, you know, now it is time, you're still going to have
that's
that
just
place
it, Jay.
I
don't know how to open up to them. I mean, I'm nervous when I'm around them. I want to make sure I say the right things. It's almost like I don't know how to be myself. I don't know how to
right.
be comfortable like I was comfortable with my husband. You know,
right.
especially somebody
right.
that cares, you know. I have one guy now. I mean, this man called me so much, I want to tell him, look, you know, you need to slow down a little bit. But he doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean any harm. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's me. There's something wrong with me. I mean, he might call me 3 or 4 times out of the day. To me, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I
don't know.
It's too much for you because you're not allowing it to happen. That's why it's too much for you.
Right.
If it was, mm-hmm. if you had that open heart, if you had that open mind, and you allowed him in, then certainly you would be enjoying it, and you probably would be calling him just as many times. So mm-hmm. right now, the reason that it is too much for you is because you're dealing with so much, and so you are putting that boundary between you and him. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I do.
You,
I do
so
have a wall
question.
Up when it comes to them guys.
Well, here's the question: are you interested at him, with him at all? Are you interested at all?
You see, it's taking me a while. You know what? You know what I enjoy? I enjoy talking to a man on the phone. I enjoy that. But when they get to talking about sex, when they get to talking about, well, come on, let's spend the night out. Or, you know, let me come to your house so you can come. When they talk about me coming to their house, that's definitely a no-no. Because I did that this summer. And, I mean, I was talking to this guy for about maybe 3 months. So I finally felt a little comfortable with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to his house, you know, it was just supposed to be, well, we're going to eat dinner and we're going to watch a movie. And that's what I expect.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting for this man to try to rape me almost. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of right now, that's really blocking me from dating or from even trusting a man. And let me tell you, girl, I miss it. I love men. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
Absolutely.
Scared to death. You understand? Because I want the utmost respect. I want to be treated like a queen because I'm going to treat him like a king. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
yes,
going to take
absolutely.
Care of him. I'm going to do everything that a woman's supposed to do for a man. But when you disrespect me, see, dude don't know. He messed it up for the other guys, and he messed it
mm-hmm.
up for me.
Right,
so
right.
when I let my wall down, now I have to pick it back up. Now, you know, I'm not comfortable.
You have to learn to
I'm,
take it down for the next person. Because as women, what we tend to do is we allow for something that has happened that has hurt us in the past or a sexual trauma that has happened in our life to affect the next man.
Right.
And that is something that we need to learn from. We need to learn from. Because ultimately what we're doing is we're punishing the next person that could be the perfect man for you.
I know.
So
I know what you mean.
Say something.
But see, this is the thing where, you know, when you put those walls up, you have to be, you know, every woman has intuition. And when your intuition speaks to you, listen to it. Because a quick incident that happened to me not too long ago, I was getting ready to go out on a date with this guy. He had asked me, we were supposed to have been going out to eat and get a drink. So he got a phone call on the other line. So he comes back, and he says something like, well, I just want to – I'll pick up a bottle and bring it and I'll come over to your place because I'm not going to have time to take you out and do this
right.
and that. So I said, hold on, wait a minute, wait a minute. How did
That's
my place come into play before – after he gets this phone call? Now, all before that, we was going out to eat and have a drink. So, you know, right then and there, something just popped in my mind, and I never called him back. We never spoke since then because, number one, his intentions were not good after that phone call. It had been something different. He came back from the phone call and said, well, okay, I'm going to come and pick you up. Then we're going to go eat, whatever, whatever. He comes back. Oh, no, this is what he said after that. He's going no, this wasn't going to his place. I'm sorry. His place. I'd never been to his place before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, no, no. You know, you can't switch up like that. He got a phone call, so obviously something or someone had changed his plans. So that made me, right then and there, my intuition kicked in. No, he's not the one. So we never spoke since then, and I have no intentions on it because it was just right then and there. That just told me that it would have been a shaky type of relationship from the beginning because my thing is the first impression is a lasting impression. Now, if he had came back after that phone call and said, well, get ready, I'll be there to pick you up in a few hours and we can go get something to eat and a drink, because he was going to go to a fight night after we went out to drinks because that's what he had planned. So he was going to go out and eat and get a drink, and he was going to drop me off back home, and then he was going to go on to this fight night. But, you know, after that call, oh, no, because it could have been another woman that he made plans with to take to the fight night. I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, therefore, when your intuition kicks in, especially when it comes to, like, in relationships, because and something else has been just going ongoing in my life, but, you know, when your intuition kicks in, it's best to listen to it because it'll save you a lot of heartbreak, a lot of trauma and different things. And then sometimes it may not be that serious, but you never know. Just listen to your intuition.
But
that's what God
is
for.
Huh? I wanted to add this. I want to kind of piggyback off of that if I can.
Go on.
I just the thing about our intuition is we have to learn the difference between our intuition and our mind speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true.
Our intuition is really giving us that honest feeling that something is not right. However,
right.
we have so much energy and so much the nervous system through our body that our mind affects those nervous systems, that we think that it is our intuition. So when our mind is telling us something is not right, or our mind is picturing that something could not be right, then we start to get that nervous system starts to kick in. You know what I'm saying? The chemicals in our body
and that's what I
boil
get.
And
I get.
Move around. Go ahead.
That's what I get now. You know, well, is he going to be all right? Or, you know, like the guy I was talking to for 3 months. You couldn't tell me this man wasn't going to do anything like that. So my intuition wasn't there because, I mean, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, and I mean, we was reading scripture together, and I just figured he was all right, but he was the devil the whole time.
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes, that's what he was. Yes, that's what he was. You're right.
Well, you know, that works as well. A man, some men who are determined to get with a woman will say or do anything his power to get with that woman.
Yeah, I was afraid.
And if it means some reading scriptures, if it means him reading Dick and Jane or whatever,
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Because of the noise in the background.
Oh. I'm hearing some feedback. Oh, okay. Well, I was saying, if, you know, men, anything that they, if a man wants to get with a woman, he will say and do anything in his power to get with that woman. You know, because that's how some men are. And I really wouldn't classify them as men because a real man will be patient. He'll be understanding. He'll be kind. He'll be gentle. He'll be all the things that a real man would do for a woman. If a woman wants to, you know, be with a man, you know, for a good time to go out to dinner, to a movie, then that's the thing that they should do. But if a man wants to be with a woman just because he wants to have sex with you, he's going to whine and dine you, then he's going to take you home and try to rape you or whatever, you know, that's not a man.
No,
my thing is you also have to be careful of these wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, because you got these men out here, they tell you how good you look and how good you sound and this and that, but soon they get you behind closed door, they ready to rape you, or do whatever it takes to get sex from you.
And I don't know if y'all remember that movie, Sister, Sister, that by Terry Perry. He made that movie. And the girl went to the guy's house. He was sweet the whole time, and she went to his house, and he raped her. Do you remember that movie?
Sister,
that movie
sister?
Was in my mind. Yeah, it was Sister, Sister. Black
no,
sister
I don't remember
that like
movie.
That. Yeah,
Tyra. Yeah, but you know, you just have to be aware of some. And then, like, if you get, you know, like Jade had mentioned, your mind, your intuition are two different things, but your intuition will give you that feeling of a warning type feeling where there's danger, something that shouldn't be going on. You know,
it wasn't there. I let my wall down.
You know,
I said I let my wall down, and because of his, what can I say? His sweet talk or his.
Right.
Back to me and agreeing
right.
with everything I said. I'm like,
right.
you know, this guy's really cool. I really like him. And the minute I start liking somebody, look what happens.
Yep.
And I just started dating this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just started giving, you know, talking to guys on the phone this year. It's been 7 years.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm saying there's something wrong with me. But no,
but
I'm just
sometimes
being cautious.
You have to do a reevaluation of yourself if you feel that way. But 9 times out of 10, it could be the guy's the guy that you're dating, or it could be something that you need to do that you didn't do, or something you need not to do that you didn't do. You know, you just have to do a little reevaluation of yourself.
Okay, you lost.
And
me
if
right
you
here.
Come up with a positive answer to everything, then it's basically the guy, you know, because just like, okay, for instance, look at Halle Berry. Look at how many times she's been in relationships and abusive relationships, and, you know, it can't always be the men. It's something that she is doing or causing it, but it's not right for anybody to abuse anybody, but it's just something that is not right in her relationships that caused her to be in all these relationships, and all of them are abusive.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to do a little bit evaluation of yourself. And, you know, like I said, if you come up positive, with, then you say, well, it's got to be him. Because I've been in situations where I thought that, you know, I was really, you know, caring for this particular person and thinking they was caring for me. But, you know, come to find out, it was one great big fat
lie,
deceit, dishonesty,
but,
you know, all those things into one. And why? I can't understand.
And
you
that's
know,
what I'm
would
saying.
Make
I don't
man,
understand.
What would make a man, if a woman is giving her all to him and really loving him, and he's claiming that he's loving her, but he's not. What kind of mind is that? You know, where is
I don't know. I just think some men think that women are just weak. You understand what I'm saying?
What?
And I'm not weak. I'm not a weak woman. Maybe that's
no,
what he was
no.
thinking.
No, no. What it is that a lot of men are conditioned on treating women that way. Sometimes men are conditioned on blocking their feelings. Because you have to remember when from little babies, they're told not to cry, you know, man up, different things like that. And so they run, and you have your peers that educate you and teaches you, and some men do not grow out of that habit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they're
mm-hmm.
conditioned to be that way. They're conditioned with that feeling of blocking those feelings or saying, I'm not going to get married, or women are just a piece of ass. You know. Forgive me for saying it, but that is exactly what they're thinking. So some men are conditioned in that way and are actually taught that way when they're young from older men.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's true.
So, yeah, so it's not that they're purposely saying, you know, we are anything. This is how they're conditioned. So you have to find that man who has taken himself out of that and have shifted himself into a different paradigm and did a paradigm shift and wants to treat a woman like a queen, knows and understands that there's more to just sex, not needing to know a woman and different things like that. So, just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true, Jade, as you speak it, because just like men who are cheaters or men who are habitual liars, that stuff is taught, you know. So you have to also be very careful of the men that you become engaged with, be it on a sexual level, spiritual level, whatever level you have to. First of all, you have to have something in common. There's a common interest there. Then there's different interests, and that's how you develop a relationship. Because if you have nothing in common with this person, then what is the point of you even being with them? There has to be some type of common ground that the two of you share to even start a relationship. Because if you get into a relationship with somebody, say, for instance, because I let every guy that I ever talk to, I let them know I don't eat beef and pork, okay? If you eat beef and pork, that's your business, but I don't. Mm-hmm. So most of the guys that I have talked to, they don't eat beef and pork, but I'm not saying they can't eat beef or pork. I just let them know that I don't eat beef and pork, and I don't cook beef and pork in my house. So if we ever get married or whatever, if you want a pork chop or a hamburger or whatever, go down the street and get it. You know that from Jump Street. It's not like when we get married, I'm going to tell you, well, I don't eat beef and pork. You're going to know these things up front, you know. But like I said, most of the guys, they either don't eat beef or they don't eat pork or whatever. But you just have to have some type of something in common with the person that you're going to be involved with. And then you have to compromise.
Oh, we had a lot in common.
But I'm saying as far as like if you want to develop a relationship. You're not wanting
to develop
a relationship
because
of the fact
of
the matter.
You have to get to know the person first.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That
after 3 months, I thought I knew him a little bit. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, it takes longer than 3 months to know somebody.
But I mean, to go out on a date or something, a first date.
But you can go out on a date the first night, but I'm talking about as far as like really getting to know a person, I would say anything from maybe 6 months
to
a year.
Well, honestly,
you never get to know a person.
You heard what I said?
No.
You could know a person for years and you really don't know a person, you know.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you're developing a relationship with someone, it takes longer than 3 months. I would say anywhere from 6 to a year to learn the important things about this person. But you're going to learn a person as every day you're going to learn something new about this person. But at least you know the most important things in this person's life. For instance, their habits, their different things they like and things they don't like. But you're always going to be learning a person as the time goes on. And they say you really learn a person when you live with them. So once you get married is when you really are going to learn who this person really is. You know, because maybe you didn't know that he didn't always put the seat down in the bathroom when he went to the bathroom. You're going to say, oh, my goodness, put that toilet seat down. You know, when he was used to the whole time of when before y'all got married, he was always used to leaving the toilet seat up because y'all didn't live together, you know. So that's something that you would learn once y'all got married, you know, or different things. But it can't.
So my
question
tonight is how do I move on from my husband's death, and how do I tear this wall down?
Well, like, you know, there's no end to the mourning because, like, you're always going to be in mourning for your husband because you loved him. Y'all were married for 8 years and known each other for years before that.
20 years. One man,
okay,
20 years, not 8 years. It had been 8 years since his death.
Oh, okay. So what you would have to do is, first of all, you're going to have to meet the type of man that you want to meet. Say, like, if you want to meet a guy who's intelligent or whatever, maybe you need to go to some libraries or some art museums and different places where these caliber type of men be. Because if you can't, I'm not saying you met your husband in a club, that was a lucky strike, but I really don't, I think finding a husband or a good person in a club is like a needle in a haystack. Now, I'm not saying it can't be done, because obviously you did it and y'all was together for 20 years, but go to a club and expect to hook up with your next husband or whatever, I wouldn't suggest that, because...
Oh, no. Well, let me say this. I don't club anymore.
Right, but I'm just...
That's out of question.
Right. I'm just putting this out there. Or maybe you can go to a nice restaurant by yourself and, you know, where, you know, a nice up-class restaurant where up-class people hang, and, you know, maybe it's a guy who is in there alone, and he may come over and say, you mind if I share a seat with you, or come over and say, I was watching you, you know, and it's just different places where you go to meet these types of men. Now, if you're going to the club, going to bars and let's see what other places, just places where where people just go to have fun. And when I say fun, men who are out there scouring the places they're at looking for someone that they can sleep with that night, bars, clubs, you know, different things of that caliber. But say if you go to, like, maybe an event, a spoken word event, nice guys be up in there. Some of the artists may even be single and looking for someone. Or to premieres, when they have premieres going on in town of different things, the Black Carcass and, you know, different things of that sort. You know, you have to get out and about where these types of men be at. So once you get yourself out there and, you know, you can possibly meet somebody who's not going to be just wanting you take you to the movies, take you home, and then jump in the bed with you. You know, because back in the day, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day when I was coming up, because I think I'm a few years older than you, but when I was coming up, how it went was guys would actually ask you, would you be my woman? Nowadays, they don't do that. So you don't know where you stand once you go to the movies, out to dinner, even after you have sex with them, you don't know where you stand. But if they don't never call you back, you already know you're not their girlfriend. But back in the day, they would ask you, would you be my woman? So therefore, you knew that this person was the person who was in your life, the person that loved you, the person that cared for you, the person that you were sexing or whatever, whatever. And it was a courting period. You know, you would go out for a little while and, you know, go dancing, do this, do that, you know. But now they don't do that. It's not like that. They figure they can take you out to dinner. You know, some of these men, I'm not saying all these men, but some of the guys who are out here solely for sex, take you to the movies, take you to dinner. And some of them even say, huh, I took you to the movies and bought you dinner. I know you're going to give me some of that. Hello?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just saying. I know, but I'm just saying, you know, there are men who feel that way. But that's not the right way to feel because, number one, my body is worth so much more than a dinner and a movie. It's priceless.
Right. But that's what men expect today. And, no, I'm not going to do it. And that's probably my issue and my problem because I know that I hear now a lot of women say that, well, you know, the young girls messed that up or women just in general. Because I know a couple of people, you buy them a meal, they're going to be ready to get out whatever that man wants. Because today they're so fast. And they want to talk about sex, and I don't want to talk about that. You understand what I'm saying? There's far more better things to talk about than how you going to make me feel. And that's why that wall is there. Come on now.
But you know what?
Go on, Jade. Okay. So I have a suggestion. I don't know what your religious belief is, but you know, if you're more spiritual than as a religion, I would suggest that you see like a shaman or a Reiki practitioner and do an energy cleansing. Okay, listening to you talking right now, I don't know if you know about chakras. And,
no, I don't.
Or if you've ever heard of that.
Tell me about that. No.
Okay. So we have energy centers within our bodies, okay? And we have a lot more than seven, but there's seven main ones. And just listening to you, you have blockages in your chakras. So your energy centers, you have blockages. You have blockages. I'm thinking that you're having blockages in your root chakra because that deals with security and trust. And you're having trust issues with, you know, finding or talking to someone. I don't know that it's sexual, so but I'm thinking that you may have some blockages in your sacral chakra, which deals with your sexual center.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we don't want to let anyone in sexually right away. However, that may be something that you may look into, and then your third chakra. I'm thinking you may have some issues with that as well, and your heart chakra. Your heart chakra, it's just dealing with compassion and just that trust issue as well. So, I'm just touching on it real quick because it's more in depth with each of the chakras. But I'm just thinking that you need to maybe see someone about doing an energy healing and energy cleansing. In addition
yes.
to that,
where is that in this area? Because I'm ready to go.
You have to Google and see where there will be a practitioner close to you. But in addition to that, my suggestion would be, and this is just me feeling you out. I don't know. I'm just assuming, but I'm just feeling like your it's not just also the trust issue and the blockage that you have, that wall that you have up, but it's also a matter of guilt. If I start dating this person, it's almost like I'm feeling like I'm going to cheat on my husband, even though he's passed
on.
Oh, my
God.
I have that
you
feeling.
You are so right.
So, yeah, and spirit is telling me something. So I'm just, like, sitting here, and I'm thinking, and I'm, like, listening to you, and I'm feeling what I'm feeling, and I'm saying, wait a minute, let me just say this out loud because I think that spirit is trying to tell me something. And I really do feel like that's the base of it. It's not just that blockage that there's your obstacle right there. It really is a matter of you feeling like that guilt that you are going to be doing something behind your husband's back as if he is still here in a physical form. So,
I think you hit the nail on the hammer. I think you hit the hammer on the nail, girl. I do. Because
yeah.
I think about that, even when I'm talking on the phone sometimes, you know. And so my thing is, that's why I called the show, because I want to know how to get rid of all that.
Well, I will tell you, I don't know, like, I deal with my ancestors. So my ancestors who's passed on, I still communicate with them. I still pray to them. Still, you know, like they're still there. You need to have a conversation with your husband as if he is still there. And
I've done that.
I will tell you.
Let me say this. I have literally sat in the house or in my vehicle talking to my husband.
But are you asking him? Are you mentioning that you want to move on, that you want to? Are you saying that to him when you're having a conversation?
I pray to God and ask God to say, look, I want to move on. I have.
You're praying
to
God, but I'm saying as far as communicating with spirit, your husband, because that's two different entities. So I'm asking you, are you talking to your husband and you're saying to your husband, babe, I just thought, you know.
But I have said it to him, too.
Okay.
I have said to him, it's time for me to move on, sweetheart. I mean, I hold conversations. You know, I don't know what to do. I've done that.
You can ask him for a time. You can light a white candle, go out and buy a white candle, put it in front of his picture. If you have a picture with him in a frame, put it in front of his picture, ask him, you know, sit down and talk, and ask him, give you some kind of sign. I say this, and this is a short story that I was getting ready to tell you, something very short and sweet. My mother was dating the man I call my father, who has raised me since I was a baby, since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. My father passed away when I was 7 years old. So this man came into my life like 5 years or so after my father's passing, okay? My mother was distancing herself from the relationship. She was on and off with him for a while, for a good while, because she felt like maybe I shouldn't be doing this. You know, she still was mourning my father, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A picture, who I kid you not, this picture was probably bigger than an 11 by 14 picture. It looked like a poster-sized picture, or maybe because I was a little girl. Maybe it was 11 by 14 picture. But it was a big picture, a huge picture. That was a picture of them together that was on the wall from before I could even remember. That picture flew off the wall one day. Flew. Like, not just dropped from the floor to down low at the level of the wall down to the floor below the wall. It flew off the wall. That was the time for my father saying to my mother, it's time to move on. Let me go. You understand? And she had a spiritualist come in the house and tell her that's what that meant. I'm telling you, and I'm not saying that that's a sign, because that yours probably something completely different. You may see a tag on somebody's car that say just do it. You may see a sign or something. It may be something that's going to be in front of you, but you have to be open-minded to see and know that that is his message. That's the only thing. We talked about too much intuition tonight. You just have to be open to see that sign, because sometimes we close ourselves off and don't see it, and it'd be right there in our face. And Spirit is trying to give it to you to say, I'm here. I'm right in front of you. You know what I'm saying? They're not presenting themselves in a physical form that you see them, because sometimes we are afraid of Spirit. So sometimes Spirit doesn't show themselves, and sometimes people do say they actually see them. So if you talk to your husband, he will give you a sign and say, it is okay. I'm good. I can't do nothing for you in a physical form, but in a spiritual form, I can be there for you and support your decision. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and he can even, you know, people.
You remind me of something. I met this woman at the gas station,
mm-hmm.
and she told me that, she said, don't think that I'm crazy. She said, but I have to talk to people when certain spirits interrupt me. And I said, mm-hmm. oh, she thinks she's a medium, right? You know, the medium that comes on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of hard for me to believe her. But she says, your husband is trying to tell me something about you. He wants you to know that, she said, I'm going to describe your husband to you. And she described him. She said he had a beard and he had a bald head. And she said, he's kind of tall. I said, well, he was tall, but he wasn't that tall. But she was just describing everything. And a lot of things she was saying, she said, he's trying to tell me y'all had a big house, because I don't have the house anymore that we lived in. And she kept saying that it was something under the couch. She said, you've been looking for something. That's what he was telling her. And it's in the couch. All you got to do is look in the couch. She said, I don't know what kind of couch it is. She said, did you have a blue couch? No. Well, she never got to the colored couch that I had. But she was saying, he was saying it was under the pillows on the couch. And I'm like, this is kind of weird, you know.
Did you find it?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Let me just tell you this. There are people that are very sensitive and can feel energy from the other side. So because Spirit is energy, we are energy. We're just in a different form. You know what I'm saying? We're here in a physical form. They're in a spiritual form. Okay?
Mm.
So there are people who are fake, and there are just as many people who are real and who are sensitive to Spirit. And sometimes people are clairvoyant and can see it crisp clear and can hear, like a whisper, can hear as if me and you were talking. They can actually hear it. Well, we can't. So to the unknown I and the unknown tonation that we can't hear it, we're going to look at this person like, you are so crazy. And I say that because I have a sensitive to auras. So I can see auras over people's bodies. And an elderly woman is the one who told me, you need to start studying the colors and learning what they mean and the meaning, because that is how you're going to be able to read people. And I didn't know that. I just knew that people were bright and they had a yellow aura, a blue aura, but I just didn't know. And I was able to tell people the color of their aura, but I would keep it moving because I'm like, that's all I see. That's all I can tell you. Until an elder said, you need to learn your craft. So everybody has a sensitive to something. And sometimes, like this lady may be telling you something, you're like, no, you're a little off, or yeah, you got this right, because she may be, Spirit is trying to tell her something, but she's either getting just words, and she's trying to put those words in a sentence, but she's getting them in bits and pieces, or
right.
It may be a little vague to her, and then you have some people that it's so crisp clear, they can just tell you word for word what the person is saying. So, that's basically
yeah,
what
she
that
was
is.
Saying, I mean, but she was saying a lot of amazing things to me, and I just couldn't believe it. Before she told me that, she said, I can only do this when I've had something to drink. That's what she told me.
You just
and
have to
said,
watch some people, because some people can feed off of your vulnerability, and some people can learn or know something off through body language too, and they're sensitive to that, so they're gifted to that. Miss Gale? I'm trying to think, but they're not real mediums. They're just con artists, that's the word I was looking for. They can actually read body language and different things like that to know, okay, I'm on the right path, and they can keep going. So you just have to watch what you're saying to the person and different things like that.
Right.
I'm not talking to your husband or nothing. I'm talking to my own energy guy, spirit guys is, you know, giving me something here, and that's why I was like, it's not that, and that's why I was quiet for a second, because I was like, it's not just that wall, it's something more than that, and that's when I got that message that it's a guilt, and that was the word that came up with guilt. So that's what I want you to try to do, is talk to him, not try, do it, talk to him, but also you have to work on healing yourself from that guilt and realizing I'm not doing anything to hurt him because he's not here, and he knows
right.
that. He knows I'm in the spiritual realm right now. I'm not in a physical form anymore, so I can no longer be there in a physical form for her. But there are other things that I can do. You understand what I'm saying? So you just have to.
Do you know any medium?
I know a lot of people. Miss Delicious knows some people that are root workers, and they talk to the people who have passed on, spirits who have passed on, and different things like that. And just in my circle, I do have some people who are more sensitive and can really communicate to people. But the thing about it is, you cannot go in to a medium, and this is the truth. You can't go into a medium saying, I want to have a communication with my husband, because your grandmother may be the one to come through. You know what I'm saying? And maybe somebody else coming through, and it'd be like, okay, your session is to communicate with your husband, but it's a lady that's actually coming through. So I don't see a man coming through here. So this is the message that I'm getting, and you're looking at him like, this is a fraud. No, it's not a fraud. It's just that that is who came, that's the sensitive that he got. Someone else came through and wanted to communicate with you. Maybe your husband just didn't get that sense from him as he was calling for spirit or whatever. I don't know how that works. But a lot of times what'll happen in a session is, and I've seen this, somebody else completely different, unexpected will come through. And sometimes it could be somebody that passed away like years and years ago. Like I'm talking like maybe when you were a little girl or whatever the case may be. And you're, like, sitting there like, what? And you're caught off guard because you're not expecting it. You're thinking, I came here for something else. So that's another thing that you do have to just forewarning you that you may not get your husband that day. You may get somebody else in your family. in their bloodline who has passed on.
Yep, that's what was told to me.
but that's just work on that. You're gonna be okay. You are gonna be okay, and you're gonna find that person. I'm feeling that you are gonna find that person that you can connect with. I just see that it's gonna take some time, and because it's just gonna take some time for you to heal. Even after this call, you're still gonna be mourning. You're still gonna be dwelling on. There's something that's not right and you're not feeling it, and it's that guilt of cheating. You actually feel like you're going to be cheating on your husband, and that's what you got to work on right there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else will fall into place after that.
I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, you just have to take it one day at a time. You know, just one day at a time. Whatever you do during that day.
I've been doing that for 7 years.
Positive. Huh?
I said I've been doing that for 7 years.
Well, you know, time is still going on, and you just have to persevere. And, you know, you just have to keep believing. Keep believing, trusting, and keep the faith. And, you know, it's not in your time. It's in God's time. So whenever
find a meditation group. Find a group of women, a woman's group that does meditation and deals with meditation on a more spiritual level. Because that's also a healing process right there. You know, you may find a meditation group, find a Reiki, like a Reiki practitioner, like I had suggested. You can look for a shaman, because a shaman deals with journeys, like spiritual journeys.
I've never heard of a shaman.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question? Some of that information that you're telling me, can you email me that information? You can get my email from Delicious.
Okay.
I don't want to say it on the air.
No, you don't have to say it on the air. Absolutely. If she gives me your Facebook or your email or whatever, I'll give you that information.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I just want to, you know, a dog want a companion. You know what I mean? I just want companionship, and I mean I want it to be somebody that's honest. Like, I'm a very honest woman. I have no reason not to be. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I still got to keep that guard, that wall up.
Well, you know,
the
time
the
wall comes down, will come down.
It's the guilt and it's the wall. It's both of them.
Did you hear what I
said? But it's more, the guilt is more of your obstacle than that wall. I will tell you that. That's what I'm getting, Goddess. I'm getting that obstacle is more so that guilt that you're feeling in your heart, and is traveling through you than that wall. That wall can easily be taken down once you start feeling a little more comfortable and at ease, and feeling like your husband has accepted your transition to move to someone else. And move on and move forward.
And you're right, because I'm not at ease when it comes to talking to other guys at all.
Yeah.
And something else, Miss J, when you're with a guy, maybe you should express to him that, you know, what are your intentions? If you want to be in a relationship with a guy, then maybe you should ask him.
I do that.
You do
what?
Where is this?
Friendship, is this friendship or is this leading into a relationship? Where is this going? What is this all about? That's what I'd be asking them.
Okay, and so none of the answers have been to your satisfactory, or they answer them open and honest?
Hello?
I'm here. I was thinking about your question. I was thinking about your question. Some of them been open and some of them been honest. I'm talking right now to about maybe two guys. And I mean, one guy, I feel that he's honest with me, but I still don't trust nobody. I don't trust him, y'all. That's my problem, too. Oh, Jay.
Jay,
you said you don't trust him. I don't trust any man.
Well, then, you know what? When you don't trust a person, then that lets you know right then and there that that's
what
not
then?
The person for you. Because if you go into
is that
a relationship
right?
trusting somebody, then you know that wall will never come down. And
right,
I'm not saying that it can't be trusted
no,
maybe later.
No, that's not
the
what
reason
I'm saying.
Why, don't,
right.
why
Demetri,
don't you
that's
trust?
That's not what I'm saying. I just
no,
don't,
she
I,
doesn't
I have trust
him.
Issues because of what happened to me this summer with
right,
that guy.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
my.
Okay.
That,
yeah.
Well,
you're taking out what happened with that other guy on this guy or any guy that comes along because,
say
you see,
again.
Sometimes you have to, I mean, you know, because I've had walls up too. And God knows when I let my wall down this last time, I you know, I wanted to say I am so done with men, period. But I'm not going to say that because just because that happened, that only makes me stronger and makes my vision a little bit keener and makes me a little bit more aware of the next time when I see it coming. Before it even happens, I'm going to nip it in the bud. But, you know, sometimes you get blindsided. And you know, you're so engrossed or you're so in love and, you know, wanting to, you know, please this person and, you know, those things. And sometimes you can be blinded of the actual things that are really happening to you, like this person is deceitful, they're a liar, they're cheaters and this and that, but you're not seeing that. But when you do, you know, the first thing you fault yourself because I really blame myself. But then again, I wasn't in the relationship by myself, so I can't take all the blame, but I do blame myself because it was as if when my intuition kicked in and I picked it up, then I went further back, and I said, OMG, the whole relationship was I almost said a bad word. The whole relationship was just a lie. So, therefore, I'm ready to put that wall up again, but I'm to the point where I'm not afraid to go back out there. I'm not afraid to go back out there, and I am going
to
go back out
there.
But
what I'm saying is
like I said, when I see something that I didn't see in the last relationship, because it's basically it's making me stronger now. And, you know, you have to trust people until they give you a reason not to trust them. That's how I feel, because I wouldn't want somebody to, I don't trust you. I don't know you. Well, you have to get to know me a little bit before you can trust me the same way I have to get to know you before I can trust you. You know, but people can be deceitful. And I'm not going to lie about anything in my life that I have ever did or I have ever done. For what? It's my life. I lived my life. So if you're going to lie to me about your life, that's on you. But, you know, it's just
but
when
that,
people...
But that's easier said than done.
Well, men lie to impress.
Right.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, so that's why, that's where that lie comes from, is they lie to impress, and some just are habitual liars, so...
Yeah. That's the
but,
truth. That is true. Some
and
men
then
are
that's where
have
that
no reason.
With me come in. Because that guy, during the summer, I mean, you would have thought his butter melted in his mouth. That's how much I was trusting him. And so I trust him a little bit too much, I guess. You understand? So I have trust issues with men because of that, because I was ready to go out there.
Right.
I was ready. You know, I was ready. And now I got to get ready all over again. And now I'm
right, but see, this is the thing, Joyce.
When I talk to a guy, this is, hold on. When I talk to a guy, don't say my name.
I'm sorry. Did I say your name?
You get real comfortable.
I didn't catch it.
Oh, well, all right. I'm sorry, Miss J.
It's all right for you, Miss J. I don't know who's listening in on this.
Okay, no problem, Miss J.
But anyway,
go on and say what you were going to say, darling.
I'm saying that when I meet a guy, the first thing that comes to my mind is he lying? You know what I mean?
Is he playing games? I mean, because
if it's too good to be true, if it sounds too good, it's not true, and stuff like that.
And I'm like,
that's because you've had those issues, as every woman has been through something that has caused her to question the next man because of the way another man has treated her, you know, because you have to be cautious, and you can't keep letting the same thing happen to you over and over, because your heart just can't keep going on like that. And I feel like I had my heart broken once in my life, and that is not a good feeling. I'd rather have 10 babies come out of my vagina before I had my heart ever broken again.
Good God Almighty.
That is not a good feeling. So, therefore, you have to really, and I try to guard my heart because I don't want to go through that. I don't. OMG. Like, I'd rather have a toothache, my feet hurt, and have 10 babies come out my vagina before I ever had my heart broken again. So we have to be guardian of our hearts. We have to take care of our hearts, you know, because that's a broken heart can kill you. Believe me.
Okay.
You can die from a broken heart.
Well, my husband's death caused me to have a stroke, so I already know. Already know, and I don't want that to happen. And you know what, Jay? That's another thing that I kind of fear. That if I do fall in love again with the right man, that he might be taken from me. So that has a lot to do with it too.
Oh,
but
yeah.
See, you can't think that like that, though, Joyce. You can't, because we're all gonna die. Definitely, we all are going to die one day.
That.
So you just get with this person and enjoy the moment and the time that you are together, and just so happen, if he should die before you or unexpectedly, at least you will have the good memories or the good times y'all had together, and he was someone there.
And you had that, and you were blessed. You can say that you were blessed here.
Right, so you can't look at the fact that he's going to die, because we all going to die. It's a given. But, you know, because I know that I've never been married before in my life. And at my age, I'm 66, and I still want to get married. Well, I want to get married now, but times when I have been in proposed to, luckily, and I'm glad I did turn those proposals down, but I'm to a point now in my life I want to be married. I'm 66 years old, but I want to be married because I'm ready to commit, you know, and be in an everlasting relationship. You know, I'm ready to give my all to my king, you know. So I know one day I am going to get married. If I be 166, I know that day is going to come. I just don't know when. You see what I'm saying? So I'm holding out for that. But you have to live each day as it come and live each day to the fullest, because tomorrow is not, the next moment is not promised to us. You know, we can hang the phone up and one of us drop dead. But, you know, live your life to the best of your life. You know, do all the good that you can do while you're living your life. You know, be kind to people. Love people. Give to people. You know, and these things will come back to you. You know, so.
Do you have a social circle?
Who?
Do I have a social? What, on Facebook? Like, do you have a social circle, like people you talk to, you know, you hang out and go out with your girlfriends? Are you starting to move on in that way as far as hanging out and going out with your girlfriends, or maybe going out to dinner to eat, or having like a little girls' night and y'all drinking some wine and just relaxing and chit-chatting and catching up, things like that?
Yeah, but most of my girlfriends, they are in relationships. We hang out every now and then. A couple of my girlfriends, they don't go out, they don't drink. And so I really don't get out that much. I don't want to go. I mean, they'd be saying, come on, George, come on, let's go to this restaurant. Or they might be having a party at somebody's house or something, you know, or going to, I don't want to use the word cabaret. I don't know what they call it now. But just, you know,
cabaret.
Just going out. So, and stuff like that. And no, I don't go out that much at all. You can ask Delicious that. Not at all.
Yeah, you're going to want to just you start off with that meditation circle. They have, like, things that they do. Some of them do. Some of them have trips that you can go on with them as a group, like once you get to know them or whatever. And if there are retreats or something that's going on, you may start to find like-minded men there. Like, you once you let your guard down and you have that communication that I asked you to have with your husband, if you do decide to join a woman's group and you start a meditation group and you start to maneuver through different events that they may have and different things that they may have, if you're accepting that, you know what, I'm going to let my guard down. I feel good. I don't feel like I'm doing anything bad to my husband by moving on or whatever, and you put that out into the universe, the universe is going to line you up with that man that you want in your life.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen. But you have to put yourself out there. A lot of times we wish for something to happen. We pray for something to happen as far as
anything. You don't after it. You have to work with it. Go after
it. Right. That's just like I've seen people tell me, you know, Jade, I want a ritual done or something done so that I can get money in my life. I can't, you know, this lady told me one time she wants to hit the number. And the lady ain't never go out and play the number. She just kept telling me it's not working. Then finally through our conversation, she says, I don't even play the numbers. Well, what do you expect? That's why my work is not working. So just as an example, that's something else. Once you get that comfort zone, you can't just sit in the house and say, it's not coming to me, it's not happening, or meeting these men on the phone or whatever and assuming, you know, because sometimes we try Facebook, we try the date thing, what is it called?
1-800-DATE
or whatever it's called.
Whatever.
Yeah,
they're
so,
no good.
Yeah, so, you know, that's like the needle in a haystack. Finding the right person, the perfect person. You just got to get yourself out there in that circle of people.
Right.
And then the divine is going to line you up with that man. It'll happen.
Mm. Okay, I hear you.
Yeah, because they're forever having something going on. We just missed the, I think the U Street Jam, they had that back in November. They have that every year. I went one year, and OMG, it was such a nice event. It was beautiful, you know. A lot of men, a lot of couples, a lot of women, you know, just where you can mix and mingle with people and meet people face-to-face. But I haven't been in a couple of years, but the first time I went, it was really off the chain. I'm going to an event in December. What is it, December? Yeah. And, you know, I know they're going to be, it's going to be a nice crowd of people there, you know, and I went to an event last month at the Arc. It was so many men up in there, you know, nice, intelligent, well-dressed, well-kept men, you know, and, you know, you just have to get out. You know, get to some places where people of caliber are at, not people where the thugs hang out and the pimps.
And see, that's the thing. I still be running y'all also. The guys that I know now, I met them from friends of mine. You understand? But when I'm out there, you know, I at one time I had, you know, you could look at a man and they would know. You know, a woman could get a man in the eye, and next thing you know, the man coming over talking to her. I usually could do that real good. I can't even do that now.
Well, you know what, Joyce? You need a little practice, girlfriend. So you know what?
Yeah, I'm out of practice. That's what it is.
Yeah, you have to, because once you stop doing something for a while, you need to brush up on it. You know, just almost like when you ride a bicycle, say you never forget. But, hey, when you get back on that bike after you hadn't ridden it for a long time, trust and believe, you're going to wiggle, wobble, maybe even fall off of it because I tried it okay? I got on a bike just knowing because I rode, you know, when I was younger. I also used to get roller skate. I got on a pair of skates. I said, OMG, not for me. You know, but you have to practice. Practice makes perfect. So maybe when you go out to an event or whatever, you know, even if you have to, you know, walk up to a guy and say, hey, my name is Joyce. You know, I saw you from over there, and what's your name? You know, that's all you have to say, because you don't have to ask him for your number, but, you know, you just say, well, I was just looking at you, and I just wanted to come over and say hi. And he may have been looking at you and say, well, I was watching you, so you mind if I get your number? I would like to talk to you more. You know, it's just things that you would have to do that are maybe out of the norm for you. Maybe you've never done it before, but sometimes you have to do things that you've never did before to get things that you want. So, you know, you just have to be open for different things. You have to be open for change, and you have to be willing to want to change, to do different
things.
So once you do that, then, you know, that wall will be coming down slowly but surely. And,
well,
and that's Mr. White might be right on in there.
Now, I'm going to say, but also her eye, it may not be working because her eye contact may not be genuine. It may be something that's going, like, he may, one thing about the eyes, people can, you know, it's a thing called soul gazing, and I've talked about this before. So if a person just glances at you in your eye, the eyes is powerful. When you start looking at someone in their eye, that's why a lot of times people drop their head and don't look at someone, because the eyes say a lot. You know how we can dart our eyes at our kids?
And
that eye tells you.
And that's
that,
what
and
I
both,
be doing.
So
my
if you're looking at a guy and he's not approaching you or coming to you, but before that used to work and it's not working now, it's because something is off with that energy, that eye contact.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's that, it's the issues that we just discussed earlier that is causing that eye contact not to be genuine, not to be strong, not to be inviting. So that's probably why that is more than likely why it's not working.
Because that eye contact means a lot.
A lot from y'all. I'm learning a lot.
Well, you know, hopefully, Miss J, whatever you're learning, you will apply it, or, you know, at least think about it. And, you know, like, it's one day at a time. You say it's been years, but time is still your time. And, you know, just keep persevering, keep trusting, and keep believing. And, you know, you need to get out, get some practice, and do things like I had expressed, things that you may have never done before. You know, I even thought at one point when I used to work at the hospital, I had asked this doctor. He was so fine, OMG. I went up to him and asked him. I told him, I said, because you see the doctors, the interns or whatever coming and going. And he just, for some reason, when he would walk by me, I could feel something. And one time I turned around real quick, and he was watching me. So the next time I saw him, I asked him, I said, what is your name? And he told me his name. And I asked him, I said, if I give you my number, would you call me? So he said, well, to be honest with you, he said, I'm seeing somebody. I was so heartbroken, but it was a good thing because he could have lied and said, yeah. He could have called me and took me out and had sex with me or whatever, then told me he was seeing somebody else. You see what I'm saying? But I did take initiative to go after what I wanted. So sometimes, you know, you might have to do that. You may get disappointed or whatever, but at least.
And that's what everybody is telling me now. They be like, this is not the 90s, George. This 2015.
The new millennium, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, but that's not how I used to do things, you know?
Right. And it's different.
What you used to do, because that's in the past. Because just like I said, back in the day when the guys used to ask us, would you be my woman? Well, I used to always expect that, you know, later on in life, but guys don't do that. They don't ask you, well, would you be my woman? You know, I really do like you, and I've been liking you. Because we used to have reunions every year from the projects I grew up in. Do you know, I am just finding out within the last 10 years, maybe, 10 years ago, that guys that I grew up with are telling me now, well, 10 years ago, that they had crushes on me growing up. But you know why they never said anything to me? Because of my brother. My brother would not let any of the guys in the neighborhood talk to me. But they was telling me at the reunion, yeah, girl, I had a crush on you that wouldn't wait, but Bun, they should call my brother Bun, but Bun ain't play that, you know. So I'm saying all that to say that it's so different now. It's different now. Because I had crushes on guys back in the day, too, and I would tell them, especially one guy, he's dead now. And I had a crush on him that just wouldn't wait, but I knew that he had a girlfriend. You know, I knew he had a girlfriend, but it didn't stop me from having a crush on him. When he finally, he moved away, he got married and whatever. Like I said, he's dead now, and he's a character in my book, you know. But, you know, it's just so different now. So, like, if I see a guy that I feel that I want to marry him, and I say, that looks like my husband, trust me, I'm going to go to that man, I'm going to say to him, I think you're going to marry me. Now, if he say, I think I am too, then it's on. But if he say, I don't think so, then next, you know. But that's just the way that I'm feeling because what? I'm not getting any younger. And like I said, this is something that I want to do, and I'm going to do it. But it's just going to have to be a whole different approach for me. Now, right. Granted, a man may come up to me and say, you look like the woman I want to marry. And he might be that man. I might say, well, all right, you know. And then I may say, well, I don't think so, honey. But the thing of it is, I'm willing to go outside of my box to do what's necessary for me to do what I want to do. Hello?
Well, yeah, I'm here. Oh. Everybody's quiet right now.
Miss J, let me say this. You are a middle-aged woman. You're attractive, and you still have time to fall in love or even to be with someone and love them because sometimes you only fall in love once in your life, and I only think I've been in love once in my life, and that was back in the 80s when I was with a guy, the first guy that I ever really fell in love with. And I've had feelings of love for other guys that I've been in relationships with, but I've never, ever had that in-love feeling for guys after that one guy. You know, it just hasn't.
Well, I've only been in love.
Not to say that when I get a husband, it may happen. But, you know, I've loved guys and, you know, wanting to be with guys and been with guys. But to be in love with another guy, it has not happened since the 80s when I was with that. And I was with this guy for 13 years. So, you know, you just have to do what you have to do and let your wall down slowly but surely. But trust your instincts, trust your intuition, listen to your mind, and listen to your heart. That's what you have
to do. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we didn't even get a commercial break in tonight, but this show has been really off the chain. You know, it's really a good show, and, you know, any of my listening audience out there, if you've ever lost a spouse or you know, wonder how to get back out there dating after a breakup or whatever, you know, hopefully you've learned something on the show as well. Because, you know, life is a lesson anyway. You're going to learn something new or different every day of your life. You know, every day you're going to learn something new. So, you know, if you learned anything from this show, you know, use it or pass it on. Or whatever. I just hope everybody's happy in, you know, their endeavors and happy in their relationships. And if you're not in a relationship, hopefully you'll get into a loving relationship, a loving and trusting relationship, you know, because, you know, you have to be very careful of the snakes that are out here, the liars, the cheaters, the low down and, you know, the low down and the the down low and
dirty. Low down and dirty and right. And on the down low, and that's another thing that scares me too. You know, the down low men. Oh my gosh.
Oh well, you know what? You know what? As far as like the down low men are concerned, and I think they are the worst ones, because they are involved in relationships with women and with men. Then they lie about it, you know. Because
yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. If my mate, my husband or whatever, ever came to me and told me, once we were in a relationship and we're married and all this and that, and if he come to me and say to me, baby, I've been cheating on you, but I've been cheating with a man. He is out of there. Ain't no forgiving or nothing, because you know what? If a man will put another man before his woman, he's nothing. He is nothing, as far as I'm concerned. Even when he cheats with another woman, but if a man cheats on me with a man, oh no, it's a done deal. A woman. Well, we would have to negotiate or talk about it, or whatever. I would give him maybe a second chance, but with a man, no, out of there. So you have to be very careful. And then you don't even know, sometimes you don't even know who's a real woman or who's a real man, because they're doing this transgender thing until they have these women who transgender over to men. And the only way you can tell that they are women is to see their vaginas. You know, that's the only way you could tell, because they had the facial hair, they had the voice, they have their breasts amputated, you know, and it's really, you know, you have to be very careful,
yeah.
You know.
Wow.
But
yeah.
I just hope, you know, for all the people out there who are, you know, trying to get in relationships, will get into a loving relationship, you know, and, you know, love the person that you're with, and, you know, be happy. You know, so with that being said, we've come to the end of another. First of all, Miss J, do you have
yes.
any closing remarks you'd like to make before we close out the show?
I would like to thank the other Miss J for her advice. I want you to make sure you give her my email address,
mm-hmm.
because I'm very interested in meeting with groups of women who have been through, who've meditated. I'm just looking for some help.
Right.
I need help. That's
right.
My main thing. I need help, and I just want to be loved, and I want to love somebody.
Right.
You know? I do.
Well, when you're searching for this help, make sure you're working with it, because if you're not working with it, you're not going to be helped. In other words, I'm saying, in order for someone to help you, you also have to help yourself. So with that being said.
Yes, mother. You heard what I said?
I said,
yes, mother.
I heard you, but I'm not that much older than you, darling, but okay, I appreciate that.
All right. No, it's
yeah.
the way you said it. It's what you said. Yeah,
right.
It's not, yeah.
Right, right. Jay, do you have any closing remarks or anything you'd like to say?
I just
want
to tell Sister Jay that, you know, I know that you want to be loved, but I want you to keep in mind, understand, the beautiful thing about transitioning over into the spiritual world is that you can take that love with you. So know that your husband still loves you. And you just have to be open to understand that you
girl,
want to get
you your... You just gave me chills, girl. All over my body. When you said that word, you said, I just want you to know your husband still love you. And just, I had a chill.
Oh.
You
well,
know what
he
I mean?
He does, beautiful. He does. So I just want you to understand that it doesn't go away just because he went away. He's just, and he's just not here in a physical form, but he is in a spiritual way. And he still loves you. He can take that with him, and he has it. So, yeah.
Right, right. Wow. Well, we're going to give you a great big round of applause, Miss J, for coming on this evening and sharing with not only us but with the listening audience out there who was listening, you know, your journey from, the loss of your husband and try to get back into the swing of finding true love again, because some women would not be as brave and come out and, you know, want, some women don't even want to talk about it, you know, so at least you did open up and possibly gave some solace to other women who maybe are going through the same thing that you're going through. So with that being said, we're going to give you a great big round of applause, darling.
Thank you.
Woo!
Thank you very much. Love you
yeah.
all.
You're welcome.
I love you all. Thank you.
We've come to the end of another fabulous show, but I want to thank my co-host and my guest co-host who was a guest tonight on the show. Jade, would you like to give up your information, how people can get in touch with you?
Yes, we are on Erotic Talk Radio every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Miss Delicious is my co-host. So we will be there tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/erotic talk radio. And we have a group page on Facebook, so you can check us out on Erotic Talk Radio. Search for that, request to get into the group so you can stay up on some juicy, loving but respectful adult conversation. Thank you.
All right. Okay, Ms. J, would you like to express
I just expressed.
You?
Already did.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. You
want
to let know people how to get in touch with you or Facebook or what?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, as you guys know, that I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm an author, ghostwriter, poet, publisher, and storyteller. Yes, storyteller here every other Wednesday. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can visit my website, which is JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y Publishing, where you can get autographed copies of any of my books, my number one bestseller, Back to Zero, selling so well. So get your copy from my website. And I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. I have a fan page on Facebook, which is JJ Publishing, and you can become my friend on Facebook at Gail Delicious Johnson Facebook, or you can just Google me at Gail Delicious Johnson. You can find out any and everything you want to know about me. Next week on the 9th Wednesday, which will be Wednesday, I will be doing my storytelling, and that's from my first book, What's Past Is Not Forgotten. And if you guys missed the first chapters, we're going to be on chapter 5, but I'm doing a recap from chapter 2 to chapter 5. And if you really want to read the book yourself, it's on my website as well. It's called What's Past Is Not Forgotten. The sequel is What's Past Is Not Forgotten, The Reunion. Very good book, and I'm telling you, this Thursday, the drama, OMG. So that's going to be next Wednesday, same place, same time, 9 p.m. right here on Delicious Talk Radio. And remember, if you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't drink. I love talking to you guys, not about you. And remember, never look down on a man unless you're helping him up. Spread love. Give love. Love you guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Like Jay had mentioned, I'll be over there on Erotic Talk Radio tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. I don't know what the topic is, but I'll be over there tomorrow at 9 o'clock as well. With that being said, everybody have a wonderful weekend. Love you guys. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, thank you for listening to my Nana's Internet Radio Show, because it's the best. Good night.